Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. Cellist and Lake Effect contributor Robert Cohen joins us now for this month's On That Note segment. It's an ongoing conversation we have about the life of a touring classical musician. Today, we discover that Robert has made a large technological leap.
I am now using an iPad on a special stand to read my music. And that has come about very slowly, I have to say. I've been watching Miguel using one for the last, I suppose, couple of years. So he has all of his music scanned so that he can see it on the screen in front of him. And then he has a pedal which he uses to turn the pages.
Oh, how fun.
Yes. Well, I was, you know, very reluctant to take up the idea because I suppose it's a bit like people reading books and then switching to a Kindle or something like that. You know, the arguments are always about, oh, yeah, but you don't get the feel of the book and you only see one page at a time. Whereas, I mean, you can see two pages when you read a book, don't you? And that's exactly the same with music. You see the way it's printed, you see two pages in front of you. So while you're reading the left-hand page, you're kind of aware of where you are in the music visually because there's so much of it in front of you. Whereas the tablet view is only one page at a time because the tablets are just not big enough to do more than one page. And I was kind of thinking, well, do I want to feel limited by not being able to see ahead of myself that much? And do I want to be pressing a pedal to turn the pages? Because, you know, I'm very particular about the way I sit when I play. We've probably talked about this. And, you know, the position of my feet. And do I want to alter that even for a moment while I turn the page? And so I've been kind of talking about it with him, and he's been saying, oh, you must try it, so go on, try it. And I've just the idea of it, I suppose, because I've spent my life reading printed music like most musicians.
And so what made you finally say, okay, I'll try it?
Well, I was actually playing a concert as a guest of the Belcher Quartet in Europe. We had a concert in Warsaw. That was the Schubert Quintet, so the four of them plus me. And they were all using iPads. And I felt very felt very much out on a limb, especially when we got onto the platform to rehearse before the concert. And my music was blowing. The pages were blowing because somehow the air conditioning or something in the hall was such that, you know, I was playing and suddenly my pages were turning backwards and forwards and they were looking at me and just saying, iPad, iPad, you know, and I was thinking, oh, come on, this is getting ridiculous now. You know, there's too many excuses for, I could make for not doing it, but, you know, I've really, really got to try it. So that's what I did. I just decided to take a plunge. There are a lot of other musicians that are doing it too, but we find it so difficult to move because of just a few things that we're clinging on to, you know, from our entire lives reading music.
So first impressions, the first time you sat down with it in a rehearsal to try to use the electronic notebook to play a piece, was it awkward? Was it like relearning how to play in a way?
No, it was absolutely fantastic.
So you'd been resisting for nothing.
Yeah, you know what? The first thing you notice is it's so clear. You don't have to worry about whether there's good lighting on your music because it is just amazingly clear. You know, it's backlit. You've got really good contrast. You just don't have to think whether there is good light on your music and worry about it. And, you know, as eyesight gets slightly worse as we get older, I have noticed that, you know, I'm reliant on good light. And there are so many occasions on stage even where the light isn't that great. Either it's designed for like theatre productions and not specifically for reading music. Or, you know, you might be somewhere like a church or some sort of centre, conference centre or something where there just isn't specific lighting that's really good for reading music on the stage. And so this thing, it just is perfect all the time. So that's the first thing you notice. And that really makes you feel very comfortable. And another thing I noticed, which I find unexpected for me, was that when you're playing chamber music, in other words, you know, with various other people, when you have printed music in front of you, especially when you have to organize it so there are, for instance, three pages on the stand in a row because of difficult page turns, you find you're looking quite a long way to your left-hand side for the left-hand page and quite a long way to the right for the right-hand page. Now, if you're also kind of looking at your fellow musicians, you know, as you play and looking up for certain moments and catching their eye and just looking to them for some indication of exactly where they're going to play, with that page spread from left to right, you find you're looking quite a long way away from who you might want to be watching. Whereas the tablet, it's only one page all the time, and you can set it to a position where you can most easily glance up or notice what else is going on and then glance back to the music. So from that point of view, I suddenly thought, you know, this is really good. It's really helping an ease of communication. And then beyond that, another thing that I think is really good, especially for cellists, I have to say this, that normally the music stand is kind of in front of us, especially in when you're playing a string quartet. The music is in front of you and it's at a height that becomes a kind of barrier to the sound flowing from the cello to the audience, and also a sense of feeling of a barrier visually. Whereas the other instruments, the violins and violas, they have the same height music, but they're holding their instruments obviously up under their chins. So their sound is unaffected by a barrier at all. So the iPad or whatever you use is such a smaller bit of barrier. It's just an A4 size. And you can position it nicely so that, in fact, it's much less of a sound barrier than a music stand would be with the music on it. And I think that's got to be an advantage as well.
Well, then this makes me want to ask, though, about making notes in the margins, because I know most musicians will write little notes to yourself, or there'll be an accent. There'll be some kind of pencil mark somewhere.
Yeah.
And so how do you do that? Do you have a little stylus that allows you to make notes?
You do. Well, you know, the touch screen computers, and this is what these tablets are doing now. We have a special pen that you can use, and there's special software specifically for this kind of situation. So I have a, as it were, a score reading software that allows me to write, you know, immediately I write it as though it's a piece of paper, and I get to choose the colors. I can use the keyboard to make text. I can have thick brushes or thin brushes, and I can erase almost automatically with a kind of eraser, or I can white out sections that I want, and then you can put symbols in that are musical symbols rather than draw them yourself. You've got the kind of a palette of those things, so it's incredibly simple, and you can use it like a piece of paper. But I'm saving myself a fortune on erasers
and printing costs.
Yeah, because, yeah, you know, it's really funny, but when you write into your music, and yes, we do, we write ourselves directions, and, you know, you've got to use the second finger here rather than the third finger, and, you know, you want to emphasize things that are in the music, so you make sure that they're there. Or, you know, as a group, you might make a decision that you suddenly want to play more softly at a certain place than is actually written, so you'll write that direction in. And my scores are, you know, they have a lot of pencil markings in them. But the thing is, with pencil marking is, you know, you use it, you put it away in a music cupboard or something, and you pull it out and then use it again. And over the years, those pencil markings, they just fade away. So you're all constantly rewriting, thinking, did I write this? Was that a two or a three? Or did I write crescendo? Because I can't see it anymore. It's just faded away. So I'm kind of, I know I'm in the flush of the honeymoon period of using a tablet, but I'm just thinking to myself, I'm never going to have to actually rewrite those things in the past because it's digital. It's there forever, you know.
Right. And you can write other notes and not lose the first ones.
Yes. Actually, funnily enough, the Belcher Quartet said to me, while we were playing Schubert Quintet, I put in some markings that were specific to their interpretation. Now, if I'm a guest of another quartet, I might want a different version of markings, and I can do that so easily now. I don't have to go, well, in fact, my Schubert Quintet music goes back 30 years. I've got markings from umpteen quartets that I've played with, and usually I'm writing, you know, an up bow marking on top of a down bow marking on top of an up bow marking on top of a down bow marking, because I just can't, you know, it's just so many changes all the time. But in the end, you've erased through the paper,
right,
to the previous version. I mean, it's just something we've lived with, and strangely enough, we've just been, well, I've been reluctant to make a change. And I know, even just the other day, I was talking to a musician. He said, yeah, but what happens if it fails? What happens if this doesn't happen? You know, the batteries go, or, you know, all these questions. And my answer to him was really, well, I've not experienced it. I've been sitting next to Miguel for a couple of years using that. He's never had a problem. The people I talk to who are using it regularly just say it works. So let's not be too frightened about it, you know.
Well, I do have to ask, Robert, you are backing up your tablet, right?
Okay, yes, Bonnie, I'm doing everything I can. And believe me, I'm in these early stages. My battery is charged to the maximum, to the very moment before I go on the stage. I'm not taking any chances.
Well, just make sure you get all of, as you keep adding music to it, that you back it up onto your computer so that if the iPad ever does crash, you can pull it back.
Yes. Yeah, especially when you have everything on it. And that's another thing. See, I'm carrying around this one little thing now, and it has, you know, so many pieces of music which would normally be filling out my briefcase and weighing an absolute ton.
I was gonna say,
as I travel.
Your back must be happier.
Well, I'm always happy about my back being happier, that's for sure, especially carrying a cello around, as you know.
Right. You don't need to add another 20 pounds of music. Well, Robert, it is so nice to welcome you to the 21st century.
Finally.
Yeah.
I've got a good balance here, haven't I, with a cello from 1723 and music from 2000 and what are we now?
17.
Thank you.
Yes. That's pretty good. Well, Robert, it is great to hear your voice. When are you in Milwaukee next?
Very soon, actually. Just this week, I'll be arriving just as everybody hears this.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing you play. We're looking forward to seeing the tablet. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Pleasure. Nice to talk to you, Bonnie.
Cellist Robert Cohen is a regular Lake Effect contributor. The Fine Arts Quartet will perform this Sunday at the Zelazo Center. There's more information at WUWM.com.